Hey Go Church family, I'm Elia and I'm here with Pastor Matt.
Hi everyone.
Welcome to the week 2 podcast. What an amazing month, what an amazing series, what an amazing truth I would call it, because it is a truth.
What an amazing redemption.
That's right.
That we have in him.
That's right. What a plan.
Yes.
What a planner.
Thank God.
Yes. So if this is the first podcast that you're hearing, or if this is the first episode that you are hearing or watching for this month, I would really encourage you to go back and hear the introduction week and the week 1 podcast, because it's just amazing how, like, even sometimes I just feel that, like, I'm not speaking on my own. I'm not saying the things that I'm saying. It's just amazing because, like, it's an amazing truth, as we're saying. Like, it's a great redemption. It's a great truth in the Bible to study and go deep into it. And, like, it's going to be the title for the Pastor Mark Hankins Conference in Christ, because, like, I just love his teachings about the identity and our identity in Christ. So the purpose of this month's series is that we want the Go Church family, this is you, to know that when Jesus died and was raised up, we died and were raised up in our new life with him. Jesus didn't only come to reveal his own identity, but he came to change our identity. In Christ, you are not improved beings, but completely new creatures. The Holy Spirit of God now lives in us, teaching us who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ.
Yeah.
So this week, we're going to be focusing on what we have in Christ. I'd say the first thing that we have is we have Christ in us.
Amen. Amen. I want us to read our key scripture.
Yeah.
And I'm going to read the surrounding verses. Colossians chapter 1, I'll start reading in verse 25. 27 is our key verse, you know, which is that last phrase, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But verse 25 says, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed on me for your benefit. This is Paul writing to the church in Colossae.
Yeah.
So that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is the, notice this, mystery which has been hidden from past ages and generations, but now has been manifested in his saints or called out ones. Verse 27, to whom, those saints, those called out ones, or we just might say, simply say believers.
Believers, yes.
To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this, see that word again? Mystery. Among the nations, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So you see here in these two passages, or this passage, word is repeated, mystery.
Yeah.
Mystery. And what is the mystery that he's talking about? The mystery that Christ is in me.
That's right. And like, this is the riches of the glory.
The riches of the glory.
And as well, this is the prayer of Paul for the church in Ephesus.
Yes.
So that you may know what is the riches of your glorious inheritance in the saints. So that, and this is it, that we might know that Christ is in us.
Yeah.
That the same Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead lives in me.
So that phrase, mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, is very interesting to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, you mentioned about Pastor Mark Hankins. I want us to turn back to John. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 12.
Mm-hmm. Want me to read it?
John 16 verse 12. Go ahead.
I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now.
So this is Jesus talking.
Yeah.
And this is Jesus speaking right before he's betrayed,
yeah,
arrested, crucified, buried, and raised up from the dead. He said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. No. Well,
why
and and why not? And what's the answer? Verse 13.
Yeah.
But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Pastor Mark Hankins makes this comment. I really like this. He said that there were truths that Jesus carried to and through the cross,
yeah,
that then the Apostle Paul gives to the church by revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those is this mystery that was hidden through the ages. Christ
in you.
In you.
Ooh, thank you, Lord.
Christ in you. This is a key truth for you and I to make our identity.
That's right.
Who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ, and what we can do in Christ.
Yeah, and just to pick up on what you were talking about last month, which is influence.
Mm-hmm.
And even like before I knew everything about this month's series, when we're reading the main scripture and where it says you are the salt of, mm-hmm, the earth.
Yeah.
So I really loved when I was hearing the message what you have said in the Big Sunday, that Jesus didn't say that you can be the salt or you're going to be the salt. He said you are the salt of the earth. But what would salt do if it lose its saltness? So basically, if salt doesn't have saltness, it's not salt anymore.
Right.
It's nothing. It's just nothing. So salt with its saltness, it have purpose. It has a taste. It gives taste to the things that go into.
Mm-hmm.
So the purpose of it is in the saltness. So the saltness of it is the identity, is what makes it do its work.
Yeah.
So the same thing with us. When we receive Christ, we receive a purpose for our life. We receive what we have to do to the work of God, and we bring taste. We bring the taste of God into, mm-hmm, everything that we are doing, because we are doing His work. We are a co-worker. We are a partaker of His plan, and we are working with Him.
That's good. And that really brings me to the shortest letter that Paul wrote, which is the letter to Philemon. Just one chapter. And Philemon, verse 6, says, "And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective,
mm-hmm,
through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you, for Christ's sake," or "because of Christ." One, yeah, translation says "because of Christ." Think about this. Paul said, my prayer, you mentioned this in Ephesians, Paul prayed that the Ephesians would know the riches of the glory of their inheritance.
Yeah.
Why? Because my faith and your faith becomes effective,
yeah,
when we put this knowledge to work. What knowledge? The knowledge of every good thing that is in us because we are in Christ.
That's right. That's right. So that means that I might be born again, but I, like, if Paul was praying for it to be effective, that means it can be not effective.
Yeah. I mean, to make it kind of a silly example, think about it this way. You can get hungry, and in front of you is a piece of bread. In front of you is something that will satisfy your hunger, something that will feed you.
Yeah.
But it's possible that you never take it.
Yes.
You never take it in. the same thing is true. What we have in Christ belongs to everyone, but it is not effective in everyone because there is not an acknowledgement or not a knowing of what we have in him.
That's right.
What we have received in him, who he is in us, who we are in him.
That's right. You know, even if you know what is in front of you and you recognize it, unless you take an action towards it. Like, if I know that this is bread, what is in front of me, it's not going to come by itself into my mouth or into my stomach and feed me.
Yeah.
I have to take an action. And the same with the work of God. Like, I recognize the truth of God. I recognize the truth of who I am in Christ and why, what can I do? And the point is that, like, we're going to discuss this next week. So I can do things in Christ. So doing is actions.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot do just by sitting and saying nothing or doing nothing. It needs actions. And the point is that, like, we've discussed identity a lot, and we have a new identity in Christ, but we also have an inheritance in Christ. It's not just an identity. So it's something that, like, as we said, usually inheritance is in the future.
Yeah.
Like, when, for example, if, like, we're going to say about earthly inheritance, for example, a son will receive the inheritance when their father will die. So, but the point is that God told us about our inheritance in Christ today. So we receive our inheritance, we receive our identity, both we receive them the day we receive Jesus.
That's right.
And, like, it's just awesome.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
Turn to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Mm-hmm.
What do we have in Christ? How about this? The ability to address God the same way Jesus does.
Yeah.
Jesus revealed God as Father.
Yeah.
In Genesis, we see God revealed as the Almighty God.
Yeah.
We see God revealed as the Lord. We see God revealed even as the righteous judge.
That's right.
And he is all of those things. But Jesus revealed God as Father.
Yeah, even I believe in John, it says, to those who believed in him, he gave them the right to become the children of God.
John chapter 1, verse 12. Yeah.
So I have a right.
Yes.
To be called the child of God.
So I can be called the child of God, but then I have the right to address God.
That's
exactly
right.
The same way. That's Jesus right. addressed him.
Yeah.
I call him Father.
Our Father, yes.
And for some of us, I have a wonderful example of my heavenly Father in my earthly father. Not everyone does.
Yeah.
Some people their families have been wrecked and ruined by the circumstances of life and by the effects of sin. But whatever your background is, what is in front of you in Christ is a loving Father.
That's right.
Who sees ahead and makes a way for you.
That's right.
And getting to know who he is as Father is step one of making our faith effective.
That's right. And the point is that when I accept him as Lord and Savior, and we say we have the right to acknowledge God as Jesus had acknowledged him at the Abba Father, so I'm kind of disconnected. Like, my identity now became in him.
Mm-hmm.
So I am in him. I identify myself as his child. So yes. I call myself a child of God. So basically, we are all going to stay connected in papers and normal world into our earthly families, and like we carry their names. But in the heavenly places, even in the earthly places, we call ourselves children of God.
Yeah.
So my identity have been changed from normal son into an earthly father into a child of a heavenly father.
Now, if I will believe that, then I'll start interpreting the events of life in the light of my inheritance.
Yeah.
Now, what does that mean? Naturally, if you go visit a doctor, you go visit the, you know, medical professional, they're going to ask you about your family history.
Yeah.
Does your family have a history of sugar diabetes? Does your family have a history of heart disease? You know what's true? Is that if you are in Christ, your family has no history of that.
That's right.
Why? Because my father, there is no sickness in
That's
him.
Right. That's right.
None.
That's right. And even like, if you say, but someone has it, it stops from you and after you. So like,
yes.
You have stopped it
yes.
because you have accepted
yeah.
Jesus. So like, this is what I was willing to say, but I just lost it. Thank you, Pastor Man. So like, everything that you must say, oh, but this, but I'm a child of this, like he is my father, she is my mother, but I have this because of my family. This have been stopped because of who you are in Christ, because of the new identity.
Exactly. And sometimes, well, in fact, turn over to Colossians. We were looking in Colossians 1 at the end of Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1, we start in verse 1. Verse 3 says, we give thanks to God for the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints, those that are called out by God, the believers. Verse 5, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in all the world also, and is constantly bearing fruit and increasing, even as it has been doing in you since the day you heard of it, understood the grace of God in truth. Now, you can hear that hope laid up for you in heaven and think, yeah, when this life is over,
when I arrive to heaven,
when I arrive to heaven, I'm going to receive an inheritance. And you do have something waiting for you beyond this life. But that's not what this verse is talking about. Because he says that you heard this. When did you hear it? When you heard the gospel.
The gospel, yes.
And that has come to you and has gone throughout all the world. What? This inheritance. It's not limited to that which is to come.
That's right.
But it is now. It is present tense. Our inheritance in Christ is as present tense as that phrase, in Christ.
That's right. Because we receive Christ by faith.
Yes.
And I believe Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is.
Yes.
So faith is in the present, is not in the past, is not in the future. Faith is now. Faith that is at the moment.
Yes.
So it's not gonna happen, or maybe someday. It's now. It's just now.
So to partake of this inheritance, how do we partake of this inheritance? Let's ask that question.
Yeah.
And when I'm talking about inheritance, we receive an inheritance, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, which is what? Christ in me.
That's right.
Christ in me. You read last week on the podcast, you read Galatians chapter 2.
Yeah.
Galatians chapter 2 says, I have been crucified with Christ, therefore it is no longer I that live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. That truth, we have to let that dawn on our spirit.
That's right.
And inform the way we encounter the circumstances of life.
Yeah. So his nature is my nature.
Yeah.
So, as you said, the word partaker. So I'm a partaker of the divine nature of Jesus.
And that phrase actually comes from 2 Peter. Mm-hmm. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. I partake of this divine nature that I have received in him.
Yeah.
How? By exceeding, I love this language, precious and magnificent promises. The precious and magnificent promises that make up the New Testament epistles become the vehicle by which my inheritance is delivered into my life.
That's right. Glory
to God. I take these promises as truth, and I put them in my mouth.
Yes.
And I let these excellent and magnificent promises take part of the riches of the glory that I have received from him, and it is turned loose in my life.
So, like, being partaker, I believe, like, my nature define the things that I can do or where I can be.
Yeah.
So we have talked a bit in the last in the past weeks about with being in Christ that we are seated with him in heavenly places.
That's position.
So I'm partaker of the position of Jesus. So where Jesus is, I am. So in this, like with when we say position, it's dominion, because it says far above all rule or all principalities, so all powers. So I have authority. I'm a partaker of his authority over all of these things.
Right. So you just quoted Ephesians chapter 1. In fact, let's just take a moment and look at those, because I want to make this practical for us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, says, he brought about him in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him where?
In the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come.
Yeah. And turn one page over, chapter 2, verse 6, it says, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, we can read that and we can say, wow, that's amazing, or won't that be great? But sometimes, especially if you're in the midst of a trial, you think, I don't feel very far above rule and authority. I don't feel very far above power and dominion. And I can think of several names that are right now making life hard for me. And sometimes the truth of this is lost because there's a challenge to seeing it come to pass.
Yeah.
I don't feel, I don't see, I don't it doesn't seem like this is true for me.
Yeah, and I would say this is the number one tactic that the devil uses. Mm-hmm. This is Pastor Matt's teaching in Healing School. If you don't know, what is Healing School? Healing School is just an amazing place where sick people get healed and people are being trained to be healing techs.
Yeah.
It's happening every Thursday in Hub 1 in the New Nation building at 7 p.m. every Thursday. Don't miss any one of them. It's just awesome.
Yeah.
So he's trying to steal this word. His number one tactic is to
challenge
the understanding, how it's going to happen, how it's going to happen, why it happened for them this way, but it didn't happen for me this way. So this kind of thing will let us be far from understanding mm-hmm. what is the truth of God. Because usually, like, if I'm going to think through my just physical mind and dig deeper into the truth of God, it's going to be impossible.
Yeah.
So that's why I believe, most of the people that read the Bible to prove that it's wrong, it's very hard for them to see the truth in it.
Right.
Because they don't see it in the Spirit of God and in the eyes of God.
But see, the point that I want to make, thank you for saying that, but the point that I want to make is when we are challenged, this circumstance,
says,
well, it doesn't look like you're very far above principalities, powers, might, and dominion. That makes us a passive observer in life, but God has called us to be an active participant in the new birth.
Wow.
And so what should we be doing if it's true, and it is, that we're seated with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ, then what should we be doing? Very often, what are we doing? We are sitting, waiting to see what happens next. But look at Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17 says, "For if by the transgression of the one," which one is he talking about there? He's talking about Adam.
Adam, yes.
"Death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ."
Ooh, thank you, Lord. Here in the ESV translation, see, it said the free gift of righteousness.
The free gift. The free gift of righteousness.
Yeah.
Will do what? Ooh.
Will let me reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ.
Okay, so I've heard someone push back and say, well, if you follow me around for a day, it sure doesn't look like I'm reigning. Hmm. It looks like it's raining on me, which is a play on words, of course. But meaning that everyone is coming against me and circumstances are against me, it doesn't feel like I'm living a king's life today. Mm-hmm. But how does a king reign? How does one who is in authority exercise authority?
By his words.
By his words.
That's right.
By his words is the right answer.
Yeah.
So what should we be doing if we are seated with him in heavenly places in Christ?
Used our authority through our words.
Yeah. So what does that look like? For many believers, it says, I don't say what God says about the situation. I say what the situation says.
Yeah.
I say, it looks like this is going to end in my defeat. It looks like this will be the end of me.
Yeah.
I see this as a great problem. What if a king did that? Imagine, we don't really have kings too much in the world today, but if you just travel in your imagination to a storybook where you have a king sitting on the throne and the news comes in to the throne room, "Sire, there's been an enemy incursion. They have taken one of your cities." And the king says, "Oh, I thought I was the king. I guess I'm not. I guess this, all this is just silliness. And this robe and this crown is just a silly hat. There's no reason for me to wear this. What is that? There's an actual term for it. Mm-hmm. It's probably a complicated term I shouldn't use, but it's called abdication. But it means to leave one's seat of authority, or to leave one's place of authority, or to leave one's place.
Yeah.
If a natural king did that, everyone that was previously submitted to the king would have said, wonder what happened to him.
Yeah.
You know, but that's unnatural, right? What should the king's response be? The king's response should be, I won't allow that.
Yeah.
And he sends the army to retake what was lost. Taken from
him. Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. And the point is done. Like, if we just take this example, it's not the circumstances that happened that led the king became not the king. If he did what you just said, mm-hmm. It's him.
That's
so,
exactly right.
So the circumstances that will happen to me are not going to change who I am unless I want to change.
So the evidence of attack, or the fact of an attack in our life, or the fact of a temptation in our life, is not an evidence that the work of Christ is insufficient.
Mm-hmm.
It's rather evidence that there is something for the thief to steal.
That's right.
He's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy.
Right.
John chapter 10, verse 10.
Yeah.
But we are seated far above. Mm-hmm. That means that we have authority. What should we do with it? We should exercise it. How do I do that? I take my place. I take my part of an inheritance in him through these exceeding great and precious promises.
Yeah.
And I rule and I reign as a king.
That's right. And as well, I'm a partaker of the promises.
Yes.
I have the same promises.
Mm-hmm.
And like in 2 Corinthians 1:20.
Let's look at that.
Yeah, that's right. Second Corinthians 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God find their yes in him.
Mm-hmm.
That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory.
Glory to God.
It is in him.
In him.
The promises are in him.
If you take a promise to God, you take any promise from the New Testament to God, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says that we're going to find what? We're going to find a yes.
Yes.
The answer is already yes.
Yeah.
The victory is assured.
Yeah.
Where is the victory? In him.
And it says, we utter the amen.
Yes.
Which is like usually we use it the end of our prayer.
Mm-hmm.
We utter the amen through him.
Yeah.
So the promise is in him, and we utter the amen through him.
Of course, that word amen simply means, so be it. So in him, name the promise. In him, so be it.
Whew, thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. So where does that word begin its work? It begins its work in us.
That's right.
So we find the word is yes to us,
yeah,
and we declare it's to be in us, and it begins its work in us.
That's right. And the point, like, just to give it a lively example, what you said about the king, no one can speak the king's word.
Mm-hmm.
He has to speak it in order for it to be done for him.
That's right.
So he cannot bring someone from his servant and say, hey, speak my word for it to be done. He had to speak his word for his servants or his like army
mm-hmm.
to go and do what he wants to do. So no one can speak the word for us. We had to speak the word for ourselves.
The word is working
in me.
In me.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
And the last thing, we have a responsibility with him. He came for a reason.
Let's look at that passage in John chapter 14. He came for a reason, and then he commissioned us.
Yeah.
Would you read verse 12?
Yeah. It says, John 14, verse 12, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father."
Hallelujah.
So, I remember as well, once you have teached on that, it's not whoever spends more time with me, it's not whoever believes in me for long years, it says whoever believes in me.
Yeah.
So, like a one day
That's
New
right.
Testament believer can do exactly the same thing that Jesus has done.
That's right, because they have already believed for the greatest miracle for themselves, and that's the
right.
new birth.
That's right. That's right.
And Jesus has called us to be people of action.
Yeah.
And not just any action, but his action.
Yeah.
His works.
Yeah.
And what is his works? Doing good.
Yeah.
Healing all that are oppressed yeah. of the devil. Because God is with us.
That's right. That's right. And as well, like his purpose. And if we go back into the series, the first series, I believe for this year, it was wonderful,
mm-hmm.
I believe. So we're talking about that his heart is to seek and save. So this is his purpose, is to seek and save. And when we receive him, we are partakers with this purpose. And our hearts might be just like guided into seeking and saving people. And this is the work that he can do. We're not going to save people. He can save them. But our purpose in this is to take the good news for them in order for them to know that there is someone who is seeking them and he is here to save them.
That sounds like the Go Church values, right?
That's right.
We experience God's unconditional love.
We grow.
And then we go with that love.
That's right. And as just thinking as well, like if we're going to say love, grow, go, we grow in Christ because
yes.
he is love.
Yeah.
So we experience his love. We grow in him. So we experience him because he is love. We grow in him and we go, we take him
yeah.
to the world.
So to kind of wrap this up, I'll pick up something that you made a comment there. You said it's not just about the passing of time.
Yeah.
It's not that I believed in Christ so many years ago.
That's right.
Growing in Christ has really nothing to do with the passing of time.
Yeah.
Why? First, time is a natural occurrence.
Yeah.
There is no time in the realm of the Spirit.
That's right.
But second, the in the natural, we see things mature over time. Yeah? You see a baby, well, after a certain number of years, will physically mature.
That's right.
But the maturing of that person is not dependent upon the passing of time, right? There are things that have to occur, mostly related to decisions that the individual has to make.
Yeah.
Likewise, when we grow in Christ, how do we grow in Christ? It is not the passing of time, but what Paul wrote there to Philemon in verse 6, we could say the growth in Christ is when we acknowledge what we have received because we are in him.
That's right.
So growing in Christ is not just the amassing of knowledge, but putting it to work. Ruling and reigning in our life like a king would.
Yeah.
And a king doesn't just rule and reign on holidays, and he doesn't just rule and reign when it comes to big things.
That's right.
But he enforces the rule of his kingdom every day.
That's right.
By actively using words.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And so growing in Christ starts really in our grow group this week.
That's right.
Where we come together and we take these truths. The person sitting on your left may have just received Christ. The person sitting on your right, maybe they received Christ years and years before. But the let the time factor be put out of your mind.
That's right.
And focus on putting these truths to work with our words in our life.
That's right. And if you're asking yourselves, where can I grow in Christ? Attend a grow group. Because the reason, like Go Church is a group-centered church, and we call them grow groups because they're where in the grow groups is where growth happens. Yeah. We grow in Him in grow groups. And in this week, we're going to be discussing mainly in the grow groups Romans 8, which is living in the Spirit and what had happened for us when we died and were raised up with Christ. And like I just enjoy reading and studying Romans 8 because it's like an amazing chapter.
Yes.
It's just awesome. So come expecting to your grow group, prepare yourself, expect to receive a word, expect to grow in Him in this grow group in this week. And not just this week, don't be limited to this week, but expect to be growing in Him every day.
Amen.
And this happened, not just it, like it needs to be on a personal thing. It needs to be a personal thing, and that comes by spending time in His presence, reading His word, spending time with Him, spending time in Him, in the Spirit. So take time. I really encourage you to take time this week to pray, to read the word, to be with Him, to spend time with Him. This is where growth as well happens.
That's true.
So if you have made it this far in your day, unless Pastor Matt wants to add something before we told you.
No. I mean, I am looking forward to our grow group discussions, and I would just encourage you to pause, rewind a few seconds, and hear what Elia said again, because that will make a big difference in your life.
Amen.
But we're thankful that you made it this far in the podcast.
And if no one told you yet today,
we want you to know that we love you.
And you're praying for you.
God bless you.